Thank you so much. And Brother Wells, thank you so much for, again, the invitation, the hospitality. And my wife and I, we feel very at home here. You're like our home church. And I love being around people that love the things of God. I love being around people that love what's important to God is important to them. And that is a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And I appreciate your love and care and what you've done for me personally. I love getting around and meeting new people. And I got to spend a little time with our missionaries last night and at our meal. And so I found out that Brother McGuffey down here has a connection with me through Dr. Smith in the church he pastored in Monroe. And it's a small world. It really is. I didn't know this about Brother Wells and his children and the Mississippi connection and things like that. I made a comment several years ago. We had one of our families, they were going on vacation, and they said, "Pastor, we're going to pass through Mississippi." I said, "Then you need to stop. Everybody get out of their car and kneel down and thank God for the Holy Land of Mississippi." And I said, "You ought to take some soil and put it in a bag and bring it back with you, and because that's holy ground, is Mississippi." So help me, they got back from vacation. When they came back, they said, "Pastor, we got a gift for you." I said, "You do? That's great. What is it?" He reached in his pocket and pulled out a bag of soil. He said, "We stopped in Mississippi and picked this up for you." I still have that bag of soil sitting in my office there. And so I love what God is doing here. And thank you so much for being here. Now, let me ask you a question before we get started tonight. Did you take your faith promise card home with you? Did you pray and say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" You see, at our church, and I know you do here too, we teach everyone in our church to give to Faith Promise Missions. I'm talking about from the nursery. Listen, if they can say mama, daddy, they get a faith promise card. Everybody gets a faith promise card. We teach our kids. Listen, I wish I didn't get saved till I was 23. I wish somebody had taught me about these things, because I got saved later in life. And boy, I'm telling you, there's a lot of water goes under the bridge when you get saved later in life. I had to be taught these things. I had to be deprogrammed in order to start doing God's will. But boy, you start teaching them when they're in the nursery. Amen. And you get a little old baby in there and just take a faith promise card and put it in their hand. And just so that you can see how important it is to teach people to learn to give. And so I hope moms and dads here tonight that you have your children take a faith promise card, whether it's this one or another one, and teach them to give. Well, one of the things that we learned last night that we have in our hands, the King James Bible, and what we have is a missions book. 66 books written by missionaries, all of them with the same direction. And here's the principles now. We remember our principles from last night. Principle number one, God's will done God's way has God's support. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
All right. The second principle that we learned is man's delight in God's direction will always, man's delight, God's direction will always have God's desires. I think one of the biggest issues that we face in our churches today is we've lost the desire.
Right.
We've lost the desire to reach souls. And yet the scripture is very plain that he that winneth souls is... Okay, now let's figure this out. We're from Texas. If he that winneth souls, if you're wise by doing that, then what does that make a person who does not? They're very unwise. They're a very unwise person because they don't realize the investment that they should be making. Well, take your Bible if you would tonight, and I'm going to continue what I started last night on the subject of missions matters to God. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Missions matters to God. And here's what we do. If we'll find out what matters to God, and the scripture is very plain on what matters to God, then you make that matter to you. You're going to be right with God. Missions does matter to God. Take your Bible, if you would, Matthew chapter 5, and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, you are going to need your Bible. Use your Bible tonight. Keep it handy, if you would, please. And so we're going to take a look at several things here tonight, because I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of keep the main thing the main thing. As a church, we have to keep the main thing the main thing. You know, in a church this size and a church like yours, like ours, and like many, there are so many things that are pulling at us to lose our focus. We cannot lose the focus on what the main thing is. The main thing is winning people to Jesus Christ. Whether they're in the United States of America or whether they're somewhere else on the other side of the world. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say about that. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 14. Out of love and respect for the Word of God, would you stand with me tonight? Jesus, once again, telling His disciples and teaching those that were following Him, said, "Ye, born-again believer, are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now look at verse 16. "Let your light..." Did you see that little word, "so"? Now, the Holy Spirit could have said, "Let your light shine before men." But He didn't say, "Let your light shine before men." He said, "Let your light so shine before men." He said, let it beam beyond your personal capability. You see, that little word "so" right there, that "so shine" can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And He said, "So let your light so shine before men that they may," help me now, "see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now take the Bible, if you would, and open it up there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want you to read in verse number 4. Paul writing here says in verse 3, look at it, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not," listen, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And I'm going to speak to you tonight on that subject, keep the main thing the main thing. Now, Father, we have but just a few moments to learn something tonight concerning this matter of missions. I pray that as the message goes forth that tonight, Father, that You would do something divine. I pray, Lord, that there's not a person in this building tonight that hasn't spent some time in prayer today saying, "Lord, what would You have me to do?" There might be someone here tonight, Lord, that You have already spoken to about missions of some sort. I pray that tonight would be the night that they would come and surrender their life to go to the mission fields of the world. But Lord, there are many people here tonight that said, "Lord, what would You have me to do?" And You have already laid upon their heart what You would have them to do as part of the overall missions goal of this church. Now please do something in the hearts of each person, from this preacher to the pew now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I mentioned to you last night that we have in our hands the King James Bible, a missions book. You know where the missions started? God started missions. You know, right after man fell, God started the redemptive process to redeem man back to Himself. Is that correct? All right. The missions plan has always been, has always faced opposition, and it has always faced opposition from Satan himself. Satan has tried to thwart God's plan and purpose for missions. So think of it this way. When you read the Old Testament, you see missions throughout the Old Testament. So the Old Testament pretty much sets the atmosphere of missions. So once we come to the New Testament establishes the attitude to missions. So the Old Testament sets the atmosphere of it. We come to the New Testament, and the New Testament establishes our attitude toward world missions. You know, there's so many things that we could do individually. as a soul winner. And by the way, we are supposed to be working. We're supposed to be multitasking as a church member. We're supposed to be winning souls here while we're sending other people to win souls across the world. Right. So I'm supposed to be doing this in a dual situation. Now, in order to do this and do this properly, we got to keep something in mind. You know, this church, I'm sure, and our church I know does, we have what we call, preacher, a church charter. And basically what that church charter says is it's a document that's issued by an authority. And basically what that church charter says is what it does, it defines the purpose for that particular entity. And we have a church charter, and that church charter says that we are a church and that we have a mission and we have a purpose to fulfill the plan of God. And that's what our charter says. Well, church, Christ founded the church upon the Great Commission as its charter for existence. Now think of this. Just as an institution on this earth must carry out the terms of its charter, listen, or forfeit its right to continue, so the local church also. And as long as the church consistently observes and fulfills the terms of its divine charter by giving itself to the task of taking the gospel to the whole world, then it will always have the blessings and the favor of God. We have to fulfill the charter for which we exist. And Jesus Christ set that charter and gave it as the Great Commission. So tonight, we're going to take a look at some things I hope that will help you. But one of the things I want to reemphasize again is something that's very, very important. For those of you that were not able to be here last night, let me just quickly run through something that's very, very important when it comes to Faith Promise Missions. First of all, we learned last night that money is a resource. All right? It's a means to an end. God gives you the resources of money so that you can be a conduit to funnel those resources into church operation here, which we know of, that God says that the first tenth of everything is mine. So if I've got $10 here, and God says a tenth of that's mine, then I have to, before I pay anything, everybody with me? Before I make my mortgage payment, my car payment, before I do anything, I am to take one-tenth of that, and that's God. That's my obligation. That's a command for me to obey Him. But wait a minute, the Scripture says that those who rob God are not just robbing Him in tithes, but the Scripture said that in Malachi 3 that we rob Him in tithes and offerings. You say, where's that offering coming from? That comes from the other 90% you have. So out of that 90%, what you do is you take whatever God tells you to give out of that 90% and you give it as God appropriates and God desires as He moves. So God is telling some of you here tonight what to give. It may be a percentage. It may be an actual figure. And you are to give that to the Lord. But that comes out of the 90%. You say, what if God tells me to give 40% of the remaining 90%? Then you give it to Him. And you give it to missions because, again, let me reemphasize what I said last night. I would rather live on 50% blessed than try to live on 100% cursed. All right, so everybody got that down now? Now, this is not easy, or this is easy. This is not difficult. That God says money is a resource, and we are not to become a reservoir, but we are to be a conduit through which the resources are to flow. Now, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the gospel around the world. Is that part of our charter? All right, so part of the church's charter is to take the gospel that's been given to us, because by the way, Jesus said, ye, church, ye are the light of the world. You are the one that now is in charge of taking the gospel around the world. Remember last night, I read to you in John chapter 17 where Jesus said, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. So you know what he was doing? He was commissioning now the disciples, and he said, now here, it's now yours. You now are to take and go into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, tonight I'm going to give you some things I hope will help you. And if you'll listen very carefully and maybe jot some things down, we are going to turn to some scriptures here in just a moment. I said that the Old Testament sets the atmosphere of missions and the New Testament establishes the attitude toward missions. So if we've got a charter, let's talk about for just a little bit tonight about what encompasses that and what is involved in the charter of the church. Well, first of all, we have to look at this very, very carefully. I want you to take your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4. Now, what we're talking about now tonight is keeping the main thing the main thing and staying true to the charter that Jesus gave us, which is fulfilling the Great Commission. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 4. Listen to what Paul said. But as we were allowed of God. I don't know, does that impact you like it impacts me? God would allow me to be in possession of something? But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust, look at this now, with, help me, the gospel. Even so, Paul says, we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Folks, listen, God says, I am now putting the church in trust with the gospel. So here's what we have to keep in mind. First of all, we have to understand that part of our charter is we have a message. And we have a message that must be delivered. Folks, listen. If I was out fishing and I was doing my thing over here and having a good time, and here's an old boy on a jet ski and he turns that thing over and he's screaming a bloody murder for help. And I'm looking over there at that old boy, and he's screaming to me and says, listen, help, I can't swim. Well, first of all, what's he doing out there on the lake on a jet ski if he can't swim, right? But listen, he said, help me, I need help. Now, I have the capabilities of doing something about it, right? I realize that I can do something to help him. Now, wait a minute, what if I said, no, hang on just a minute. Let me pray about whether I want to come over there or not. Hang on just a minute, sir. I've got some things to do, and as soon as I'm done, I'll come over there. Folks, listen to me. That man doesn't have time for you to pray about it. That man doesn't have time for you to think about it. He doesn't have time for you to do whatever you're going to do. He needs help. That's what he's doing. And listen, if I put her over there in my boat, and I throw him a life preserver. And he says, I don't like that color. So I reel it back in. I take spray paint and I spray an orange. And I throw an orange. I don't like orange. You say, preacher, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No, look up here at me. I promise you, if he's dying and he's drowning, he don't care what color the preserver is. Hey, listen to me. If somebody's dying without Jesus Christ, they don't care. Just come. I don't care what your background is, what your education is. I don't care what's where you're from. Just come and help me. Why? Because you have a message. The charter of the church says you've got a message. You've been entrusted with it. Let's get out there and help somebody. We have a message. You know, think about this. You know, the word gospel means, we've heard this said many times, the gospel means good news. But let me say something about that. News can only be news to those who haven't heard it already, correct? But wait a minute. But it can only be good news if it gets to someone in time. For instance, if the news of a pardon was sent to a condemned prisoner. And boy, by the way, pardon to a condemned prisoner who's fixing to be executed is good news, right? So it's good news, but wait a minute now. But what if that message is delayed? And his execution is to happen at 6 o'clock. And you've got the message from the warden. And you say, well, listen, you know what? It's lunch break. I'll get that message down there about his pardon later. Listen, folks, he doesn't have time to wait. So that person goes to lunch. They take it down there. The guy's already been put to death. And said, hey, I've got some good news. That guy's been pardoned. What good is the news if it gets there too late? Right. Amen. Hey, folks, listen. We need help. You just heard this brother right here. They need help over there. In Nigeria, they need help over there. In India, they need help over there. Man, can you imagine going to a country with 1.3 billion people? You know how many people that is? There's about 330 million in America. That's about three times what? Almost four times, brother, the population of America. They need some help. Listen, I'm just saying to you, we have a message, and God says that he's allowed us to be put in trust with the gospel, to take that message, to fulfill our charter to take it to the rest of the world. Remember the story about after Andrew got saved? You know who he went and found? He went and found his brother, Simon, and brought him to Christ. Remember old Philip? When Philip got saved, he went and found Nathanael and brought him to Christ. Hey, folks, listen, if nothing else tonight, just because you're a born-again child of God, you ought to have the desire to get somebody else saved. There will be a desire. And folks, isn't it crazy that God would actually give us this so that we can help people be saved? Hey, folks, look at it this way. When you go to work tomorrow and the clock's turning, you think, man, alive, I make such and such an hour. Tomorrow when you go to work, watch the clock and wait when it goes around for 1 hour, whatever you make an hour, think about, you know what? I'm going to give a portion of what I just made that next hour to World Missions. I worked 1 hour today to help people get the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, it's not in vain. It's all about how you look at things, you see. We can't sit there, oh man, I'm telling you, I've got the worst job. No, wait, before you start complaining, thank God you have a job, first of all. And then secondly, when you look at that clock tomorrow and you see that hour, make it just remember this. Hey, listen, God allowed me to have a job. I just made such and such amount of dollars, and I'm going to give a portion of that to missions. I'm helping somebody go to heaven. I'm helping the gospel get to somebody. Listen, I'm just saying to you tonight, church, listen, we have a message. And that message is extremely important. That message is Jesus saves. Amen. Yeah. That message is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That message is a form of communication that's containing a valuable piece of information that we've got to get to them. Amen. And it's up to us. Jesus said, hey, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, it's up to you. I've established the charter. Now, you fulfill the charter. Now, folks, listen. I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm just going to say this. Anybody that sets a charter and they don't fulfill the charter, then they lose the privilege of that charter. But you listen to me. If we're not fulfilling the charter of the Great Commission, could it be that we could lose the favor and blessing of God? Could it be that we lose the favor and blessing of God if we're not fulfilling the purpose for which God created the church? So we have a message. Here's the second thing I want to bring to your attention tonight is by the time you get to the book of Acts, you go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that is what we call the Gospels. All right, and so that has and contains the message. Then we come to the book of Acts, and there are two things that we notice in the book of Acts to help us keep the main thing the main thing. First of all, we find out what we're to do as far as the methods to get the message out. Now, folks, listen. There is a way to get this done. And the Bible lays it out very clear that those who come out of the church are to be sent through the local church. That's the reason they said that the Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Saul and Barnabas and Paul, and the church prayed over them, and they were sent out of the church. Now, when they went out, they had a message, but they also, because they had spent some time in the church, they were taught about what the methods were to be. And so the book of Acts tells us the methods, how we are to go about this thing of starting churches. You say, wait a minute, what is the method? Well, when a missionary goes to the field, their job is to work themselves out of a job. That's what they're supposed to do. They go out there, they win people to Christ. You say, well, how long will it take? I don't know. 6 months, year, 3 years. Hey, listen, we got missionaries that have been on the field 8 years in some countries, tough countries, and have started one work in 8 years. And the thing about it is I told you the countryside, I didn't even know they even let people in that country. Well, they don't. But you got to get in and you got to work it. And you've got to be able to get in realizing that, listen, I'm here to win souls. Boy, I tell you one thing. Can you imagine William Carey trying to raise support in Baptist churches today? Yes, sir. Yeah. When he came and said, Mr. Carey, how many churches have you started the last term? None. Well. How many people you won to Christ the last 4 years? None. Yeah. How about the last 8 years? None. How many people you had baptized? None. Listen, you go read the life and story of William Carey. Most Baptist churches would run William Carey out on a rail. Yeah. Let me tell you something. India is what it is today in Christianity, my brother, because of that one guy. That one guy who refused to give up after years and years and years of witnessing. Finally, glory to God, somebody got saved. Yeah. Somebody got baptized, and it was the beginning of what today are millions of Christians in India. And today, if he went on deputation, or if he came home on furlough, how many churches you start? Well, let me go. Oh, you ain't started no churches. You've been there 2 terms. We're not going to support you anymore. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. How about let's trade places? Yeah. Yes. Let's do that. How about we let some missionaries come pastor our church and then we go to the mission field and let us report back in 4 years? Yes, sir. The whole different story now, isn't it? You see, what I'm saying to you, there is a method in which we are to follow. And that method is we go through the local church. That church is to send out those missionaries, pray over them. And listen, we've got missionaries that sometimes it's tough to come home on a furlough, even after 3 and 4 years. We've got missionaries out of our church that hadn't been home in 6 years. The issue is because of the type of church and where they are, they don't have anybody to take it. And listen, for most missionaries, if they leave a work totally on its own without pastoral leadership, they come back. A lot of times there's no church there, or heresy has gotten into church. So there is a method in which you go. And then the book of Acts also tells us there is a means by which we're to get this done. Remember the scripture says, separate ye. Yes. Separate Barnabas and Saul. Yes. So there's a means. So we talked about this last night, so I'm not going to hit this too hard tonight. But the means is you can either go yourself or you can help finance somebody else to go. Okay, so there is a means to do this. So the book of Acts gives us the methods, and then the book of Acts also gives us the means to get it done. You'll find in the book of Acts that there are missions principles that must be applied. There are certain things that need to be done a certain way. Because remember, God's will done God's way has God's support. I'm sure these missionaries, I'm not trying to embarrass them, but I'm sure these missionaries they've got on the field, they found out that some of the brethren ain't doing God's will, God's way. Am I right? Yeah. You'll find out that some of the brethren out there aren't doing God's will and they're not following the methods and the means of missions on the field. Now, the book of Acts lays it out. There are missions principles. There are missions practices that are promoted in the book. There is a missions precedent that's given. Listen, I promise you, you go read the book of Acts, look at all the things the Apostle Paul went through, and the book of Acts records for us every type of experience or problem I think a missionary could ever face. The Apostle Paul faced it all. Matter of fact, just in case we forgot what he faced on the mission field, he go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and he gives us his resume. Yeah, he lists his resume out there about how many times he'd been beaten, how many times he'd spent in prison, how many times he'd spent a night and a day in the deep, all of these different things. He'd say this often and that often and this often and that often. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. It ain't like on most of the mission field. It's not like it is in the States. You know, over in Arlington, where we are, we can knock 10 doors. We can probably talk to 8 people. There's some places on the mission door you may have to knock 100 doors to talk to one person. So I'm just saying to you, the Bible tells us that, listen, we've got a message. If we're going to fulfill the charter, there is a method. There are means, which is us. We can either go ourselves or we can give so others can go, because the book of Acts is the pattern for world missions. Let me tell you a quick story. Many of you may not remember or have ever heard of Lieutenant Charles Kettles. Charles Kettles was a fighter pilot, but what he flew these old Huey helicopters during the Vietnam War. And Army Lieutenant Colonel Charles Kettles served in the Army in Vietnam, and he was just recently, last year in 2016, awarded the Medal of Honor by the President for his valiant rescue of 40 soldiers that were under heavy, heavy fire. The way it went down is Charles Kettles led that group of men and that group of helicopters, and he kind of led and flew point. When they got out there, they were given the coordinates. They were radioed the coordinates. They got out there, and with heavy, heavy air support, those Hueys went in there to pick up those men. The problem is they got it all loaded and they took off and headed back to base with only 32 of the 40 men. As they were en route back there, Charles Kettles got the word, but 8 men didn't make it. Charles Kettles dropped off the men that he had, and without any support, without any air support, without any command or without any direction, Charles Kettle got in his helicopter and went back on his own. No support, nobody to protect him. He went in there under heavy mortar fire, under heavy machine gun fire, and went in, got the coordinates where those 8 men were, went in and picked them up by himself. He didn't want to risk any other men. He said, listen, this is my decision. He went in and got those men and got them out of there. Listen, you know why Charles Kettles did that? They asked him later, said, why'd you do that? Why did you go back out there in front of him? He said, because I'm an Army captain, an Army colonel. I lead men. He said, what would my men have thought if I would have left those 8 men out there to die? He said, I had to go back. Yes. You see, I'm just telling you, we've got a message. There is a method. There are the means in order to get it done. And you and I have the means today to accomplish the mission. I mentioned last night, do you still believe that first century church methods still work in a 21st century world? Because a lot of people don't. Preacher, that's the reason local soul winning is going. It's going totally off the agenda of the church. Hey, folks, I believe mission still works. Amen. Hey, I believe that you can send people around the world and get them there, and they preach the gospel, they can actually start churches in countries. So we've got a part of the charter. We got a message. There are methods. There are means. Wait a minute. Let me give you another one here. And then you move on further in the New Testament. You come across all the epistles. And you know what? Constantly, over and over and over in the epistles, it talks about the motive for why we do what we do. It talks about the motive of why we do what we do. Take your Bible, Colossians chapter 3, quickly. Colossians chapter 3. Look in Colossians chapter 3, if you would. Beginning in verse number 1. Colossians 3, verse number 1. Colossians 3, in verse number 1. If ye, Paul says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now notice this verse here. When Christ, next four words, please. Who is our life? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hey, got a question for you tonight. Is Jesus your life? You say, well, I don't know if he is or not. Then what you're telling me is that you're not delighting in the Lord. You may not be going his direction, therefore you don't have the desire. But listen, if we'll delight in the Lord and we'll delight in his direction, he will give you the desires of your heart. He said, when Christ, who is our life. So the epistles give us the motive for which we do, for what we do. There is a reason that we're to fulfill our charter. There is a motive. You say, I know what the motive is, preacher. The motive is we're to love God. That's a great motive. You say, oh, preacher, we're to do this because of this or because of that. Let me tell you what the motive is of why we do what we do. And that leads me to the last thing, because then by the time you get to the book of the Revelation, then you have the manifest. You have the list of how this is all going to go down. The number one motive, yeah, we love God, but the number one motive, folks, look at prayer me, is people are dying and going to hell. No excuses. No excuses. They're going to hell. I want you to listen to what Revelation 20 and verse 15 says. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And folks, regardless of what country, regardless of what their upbringing was, when they stand before God one day, the Bible says the books will be opened. And if the names of those in Papua New Guinea, if they're not there, my brother, they're going to die without Christ. And the books were opened, and if those people in Nigeria, if their name is not there, they're going to go to hell when the books are opened. If the names of the millions and millions in India are not there, my brother, they will die without Christ. And the Bible says they will be cast into the lake of fire. Yes. Now, wait a minute. The charter tells us we got a message. Sure. There are methods that we are to follow in order to get the message. There are means, which is we can either go ourselves or we can give. Hey, listen, we just said there's a motive. We ought to love God, but the main motive is because people are dying without Christ. And then we get to the book of the Revelation, and the entire manifest is laid out there. That whosoever is not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. But that manifest also tells us that we will be held accountable. You and I will be held accountable one day as when we stand before a thrice holy God for what we've done about world missions. You know, preacher, often I've meditated on this one statement the Apostle Paul made when he said that his hands were free and clean from the blood of all men. Have you ever thought about that? You say, what does that mean, preacher? I think Paul has said, listen, to the best of my ability, every person I came across, every way I could, I got the gospel to every person I could possibly get it to. And he said, he was basically saying, listen, check these hands out. They're free from the blood of all men. He said, I did whatever I could to get the gospel. He said, I either went myself or I helped somebody get to. And by the way, when you go back and look at all the men that he trained, hey, he did a pretty good job with Timothy, didn't he? Yeah, not bad. Not bad. Hey, he did a pretty good job with Silas. He did a pretty good job with those that were under him. And he had these young men that he was mentoring. He said, my hands are free from the blood of all men. And my question to you is this. Will yours be? Man, we sit in America like fat cats, don't we? Padded pews. Hey, brother, I was watching the video here. I didn't see any padded pews over there in Papua New Guinea. As a matter of fact, I didn't see any AC. I didn't see any of that. And yet we sit in a padded pew, in an air-conditioned building, in facilities like you have here. Praise God for them. But folks, listen, most of the world don't have that opportunity. So the least we can do is fulfill our charter. The least we can do is get the message by the methods and the means with the right motive, because one day the manifest is going to be upon us. And every person is going to stand before a thrice holy God. The believers will stand and be judged according to the works, whether they be good or bad, that they've done in this life. But there are many that are going to stand before the great white throne of God. And they're going to make excuses. Some will even say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done all these good works in thy name? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Hey, folks, can I say to you tonight, let's keep the main thing the main thing. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment.